All right, Christine Hawker is going to start the episode today. Christine asked, Dan, if you were stuck on an island with McClure, Caro and Kane, and they gave you consent to eat them to survive, which one would you eat first? It's a great question, Christine. Thank you for starting the show off so well. I would probably start eating myself first, just to get it over with. I could think of nothing worse than being stuck on an island with those three people. Or if consent was given, rather than getting to day 50 and being like, I have to eat someone here, I'd start chewing into them on day one and just have some peace and quiet, I think. Shit, start the show.
Hey guys, welcome to the Dan Knows Footy Podcast. You can find more of Dan Knows Footy on the website, Spotify, YouTube, and social. Good job. See ya.
There was heaps of sick kids and I was like, where are they? Kick them harder. Kick them all harder. Punch him in the face. I'm bloody horizontally challenged, if you get what I mean. Oh, no. I'm proud today. Should we say this is the line? If you don't hear the next bit, it's over the line. Okay, so if you don't hear the next bit, I've got over the line.
This is more part time,
right? It dips in.
Hey, welcome back to this Mad Tuesday, a big long weekend of football, and thank you so much for putting us in your ears. Ollie, a long weekend. You had the snorkel out in Stall. How was it?
It was wet. It was wet.
It looked wet on TV.
Yeah. It was, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, dry as, and then Monday for the gift itself, ridiculously wet.
The gift that keeps on giving, I call it.
Yeah.
We're going there because we're driving to Gather Round.
We are indeed, and I want to do the gift with you.
We're going to sprint. That's one of the things that we are going to do because we, as I just mentioned, everyone, we are going to Gather Round. So one, we're going to do the Stall gift and we also want you guys to give us your recommendations on what to do, one, in Adelaide when we get there.
Yep.
But probably more importantly, what do we need to see on the way there? There's these little gems of towns on the way to Adelaide and we're going to go and do the things that you suggest. Is it going to find the best bakery on the way? Mm-hmm. We know everyone loves their pies. We know every country town states they have the best pies in Australia. I call bullshit on that. So we'll find out. Have you had a Farmers Union iced coffee ever?
Yeah, in my life, definitely.
You grew in Adelaide. Fuck, I keep forgetting that.
Yeah. Well, when we were in Adelaide, I reckon we could even do, so Farmers Union, Pie Floater.
R.M. Williams, let's see some custom R.M. Williams.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Have you had a fruit chock?
Frog cake.
West End. Keen to skull fuck a West End.
Yeah.
The term skull fuck is so gross.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you not to use it again.
Sorry.
Until we were in our custom R.M. Williams, yeah. Then you can say
let's
it.
Let's go. R.M. Williams is in Prospect. I grew up in Adelaide.
Well, there you go.
I know people there.
Posh part of town as well.
My grandma lived there.
Prospect.
Yeah, it is. We can go see. Mate, we can do anything in Adelaide. Crazy Horse?
Yeah.
We'll go find the best nachos in a strip joint in Adelaide?
No, I can't wait. And speaking of the places on the way, you got Stall, Neil, Border Town.
Yeah. Truro?
Yeah, Ballarat Mushroom Farm.
Oh, you'd be keen.
Yeah.
Where was the place where she was, your mum? Where was she, the mushroom lady?
I don't know. That wasn't my mum. My mum's a respected member of society in Tasmania. Unrelated to that story, okay?
Okay, sorry. So that's not your mum. Yeah. You should probably stop saying that. It's just a rumor. This microphone's going woggly on me. No, we're good. That sound good in your ear?
Sounds good. Do you want me to fix it?
If it sounds good, I can just tighten it up, I think. That better?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So we are going to Adelaide. We're going to drive. Thank you. We're driving in an amazing Toyota, a Land Cruiser 70 Series. Now, I don't know if you've seen this thing, Ollie, but it is just an absolute stud of a vehicle. On the road, we're going to look very impressive.
Really?
Have you seen this thing?
No, I haven't had a look yet.
Mate, have a go at this thing. That's what we're in. Same colour.
Oh, how fun.
How good's that? I don't think we have the camper van that's attached on the website. But thank you, Toyota, for looking after us. We're going to film some content with them. I'm going to have a good time with them. And we're keen to get over there. There's a lot happening in Adelaide. I know that we're going to preview the weekends, what we do here on the Mad Tuesdays or Mondays. It's mad today, but a lot is happening in Adelaide this week. It becomes a town. It's like Vegas for people. Well, Vegas, except for Brizzy. If they don't get WhatsApp, am I right? Awkward. AFL Fight Night is on. We forgot about that. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. We've got Kane versus Kane Pettifer, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have Daisy and Dane. And Caro, we're hoping, gets in the ring and just fights literally anyone. We're keen to get her in there. But I just hope, I really do hope that all the fighters lose, because I don't like this concept at all. Like, I don't know who would actually buy a pay-per-view, I'm assuming it's pay-per-view, to watch this fight.
I'm going to play devil's advocate just for us. What is it that you don't like in particular? No, and I probably agree with you, but what is it that rubs you up the wrong way?
Probably all of it, to be honest with you. The fighters going in the ring.
Yep.
I don't know. Dane, Daisy, I actually quite like, but Kane and Kane, and I don't really know them either. I don't like the concept of them all just fighting, knowing that it's 20-ounce gloves, knowing that they can't knock each other out. I'd be very much in for like a bare knuckle street fight.
Sure.
If that's the way we're going to do it.
Yep.
Like, let's get some concussions. Yep. Let's get some Tim Zoo blood cut in the head, 10 stitches going. You know, if we're going to do it, let's do it properly.
Yeah, go out to Jepp's Cross, somewhere underground.
Oh, Jepp's Cross. They know how to brawl in Jepp's Cross.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the fights I used to get in there. I used to... Okay, I go, sorry. It's the last time I'll say it.
You're not in your boots.
That's
yet.
The last time I'll say it. I mean, I used to go down there and just drag heads down Jepp's Cross. The Rams, they were called.
Do I have to be worried sort of hanging around with you in Adelaide? Because last time I lived there, I had quite a respectable
image. You didn't. No, you didn't.
Well, I had a haircut like yours.
That says true. A lot. That was, yeah. And now look at you.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I was working in street promotions. So, you know, I was the horse at Oakfield Racecourse.
Oh, my God. Well, you were a horse?
Yeah. I was a fruit chock at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Or mascots. You were the mascots in the suits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that. So you got some respect there.
Yeah.
The streets know me.
I got clout.
The streets know me in Adelaide. I'm very much like an underground figure in Adelaide.
Mm.
When people see me in the streets, they go, oh, there's that guy. Well, he stabbed someone once.
Yeah.
I didn't stab anyone, but you could imagine the reputation
I
have there.
That's what they're saying.
Oh, I'm not going to watch that fight. I mean, I'm really not going to. I'm not going to tune into it. I think
what night is it?
It's in 30 hours' time from now. So by the time this comes out, it's 7 hours, 20 this time tomorrow. No, not in the morning. Tomorrow night.
Tuesday night.
Wednesday night. Oh, my God, this week's fucked me. Wednesday night.
Okay.
It'll be on.
Yep.
So we'll be in Adelaide. I mean, I don't think we want to go to it. I mean, you could pay me just money to watch me punch myself in the head 100 times.
Yeah, let's do that.
Like, I'd be in for that.
Hindmarsh Square.
We're not doing that. So we're going to Adelaide, guys. As we said, send us what you want us to do. Send us where you want us to go. We're going to be on the road for a long time together, which will be interesting. We're going to film it as well. So,
hey, that's a big moment for us as
colleagues. I'm taking my AirPods just when I've had enough of you, just to plug in and escape.
That's fair.
Yeah. I went to the NBL on the weekend. Jack. Is that what they do or jump?
Well, to be fair, they do both because they're the Jack Jumpers. No, we march.
March. They were very good. I mean, I had only jumped in at the end when everything was getting good to see game 5. Unbelievable.
It was good, wasn't it?
Just a good game. There was one short guy for the Jack Jumpers who just turned on.
Jordan Crawford. 32 points in the first quarter.
Unreal.
No, just in the game.
In the game. 27 19, in the first half.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Something ridiculous.
Unbelievable. So well done to the Jack Jumpers. Melbourne United, you know what I say, you missed your opportunity. And it's hard to get back to the top in the NBL. Very hard. You might have seen everyone was with Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, that was kind of a dynamic I probably didn't expect to see when I opened my phone.
No, very bizarre but for me, awesome. Collab, meeting, greeting. That's Ari Gold, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's Ari Gold. And Anna had no idea who he was. I kept saying to him, like, that's Ari Gold. Yeah. Lloyd. And she's like, no, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So very cool moment. A lot shorter in real life.
Really?
Real short,
Shorter than me or?
Yeah, way shorter than you.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, real shorter than you. And just a really nice guy. I mean, it did get a little bit weird between Jeremy and I. He's out here promoting his show. He's a stand-up comedian now, apparently, which I would never have picked. So he's a stand-up comedian. He's out here doing a show. I think it's tonight. Mm-hmm. And he was handing out flyers and he said to me, oh, you know, he goes, do you have followers? And I was like, oh, here we go. I can see where this is going. About to take a turn into Crazyville. I ignored it. I pretended like I didn't hear it. But Anna was like, oh, yeah, he has followers. Yeah, he'll post anything. I was like, shut up. Anyway, he was like, oh, like, you should just post this on your story. I was like, Ari, sure, whatever. So I pretended to get my phone out, scan the QR code on his flyer and put it as a story.
He gave you a flyer.
He had flyers. He had like a big, thick thing.
You should post this.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, cornered. So I was like, oh, okay, no worries, that's for sure, do that. Anyway, I pretended I was doing it. Then he looked away and distracted with something else, so I put the phone away. After the game, I put a story up saying, you know, this is my Vinny Chase era, tagged him in it. He replied saying, so good to meet you. I'll see you on Tuesday. I promised him that I was going to the show. We're just not going to the show because we're going to Adelaide. So I lied to him there, which I'll put my hand up. I was like, yeah, good to meet you too. See you Tuesday. Absolutely so keen to see your stand-up show. And he came back to me and was like, post it on your grid. I was like, oh, sorry? Like, what? He's like, oh, good to get some grassroots promotion here. I was like, mate, you're fucking Ari Gold. You could literally put it on your story and sell your own tickets. I like you, but I'm not doing that for you. So that was my first strange interaction with some big dog of the week. We also had another one during the week, which we aren't going to say the name of. Ollie's telling me to say no. He's veering clear of this.
But it was wild.
Ollie is steering clear of this at all, which is fair. But I'll just say, and I'll leave it here, Ollie. Okay. I'm going to park it here. I'm going to Toyota Land Cruiser 70 Series park it here.
Okay.
This interaction with the player wigged me out. I want to say more, but I know your eyes are saying shut up.
You can say something else.
Nah, it was just a weird interaction with an NFL player. Okay,
no names, no contents.
Yeah.
But you can say why it freaked you out.
Because there was a bit of bipolar in it on this player's part. I fully understood the first message to an extent. And then about 3 hours later, it was a full like flick of the switch, change of mood. And that's what wigged me out a lot. So I will leave it there because we probably will get sued by probably the player, if I'm being honest. We're going to leave it there. But big weekend of football, bad weekend of football to be footy tips, and bad weekend to be an umpire. A lot of complaining about the umpires. People actually messaged in saying that Tomahawk was giving a passionate hug to an umpire before the game yesterday. Which, if true, is wild. Which umpire would he be? It wasn't Razor.
No, he wouldn't hug
it. Was it Brent Prismal? Did you play with Brent? It wasn't Ellie. What's the last name? Does she umpire still, Ellie?
Yeah.
She does?
Yeah, but she married another umpire, so.
Oh, probably legal.
Last name. No, I was just thinking because you couldn't think of her last name.
I mean, the marriage isn't illegal, but.
Probably illegal.
I think in circles, it's very frowned upon to marry umpires, like if you marry an umpire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
It's very Snow White and the Seven Dwarves almost. Like it's very in-house.
Yeah. It's a bit like marrying your cousin, I guess.
Here we go. Come on. Get it over in numbers. Come on. We're 10 minutes in. Just get it done.
No, I refuse to see it. I'm going to see clear of Tassie jokes because I am better than that.
Yeah.
That's low-hanging fruit.
Well, firstly, you're not. And secondly, we are going to your hometown this week. So I'd be on your best behavior.
What's up with Adelaide? I'm going to get sorry. I even know what's.
And you've said it again.
Sorry. Okay, it's the last time I'm going to use it.
I think it was can I say, it does remind me of the Mr. Doodleburger videos, if you remember him doing the Alf Stewart voiceovers.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah.
That's very good. Doodleburger was very good.
I think
good.
He coined that phrase.
No. Back to the umpires. Carlton and the Kangaroos game, there was a lot of people upset. The Port game, there were people not happy about it. We've had multiple of you messaging saying, what is going on with the hole in the ball rule? Because that seems to be non-existent anymore. There's no one rewarding the tackler, which I get to an extent, but it's been bad from the start of the year. The goal umpires were very bad and they've continued to be bad. On Thursday night, we had two score reviews in the first minute that were clearly not warranted for score reviews. The umpiring in a hole has been really bad, but let's remember that these umpires are not full-time. They have jobs outside of this. They have high-paying jobs. So maybe the AFL, we're at a point where we say, we're a professional outfit. We are the biggest league. We're in an industry that makes a lot of money. Maybe we start paying the umpires full-time because that would actually create a better environment for these umpires to be trained and to make better calls in a game. Because even some of them now, I'm like, okay, this is just horrible. On a whole, I think we can say so far, and I know it's easy to pick at umpires and critique what they are because it's a hard job. But as a whole, you'd look at the umpire and go, this has been pretty poor this year.
Mm.
They've been very poor. I just think that for a league that made $104 million last year, you're telling me you can't put the umpires on full time? That's a piss take. Mm. It's embarrassing if we can't do that.
It also reminds me of the argument that I feel really strongly about when people critique the standard and skill level of the AFLW. And you go, Well, can I just say, when you've got to work all day, mm-hmm. all week,
yeah,
and then you get 30 minutes in between, you know, when the guys are doing their thing, and you've got to come in and make the most of your time.
Literally.
It's like, well, obviously the standard's not going to be at the top tier when you've got everything else going on in your world.
And do it on the umpires. I mean, if it's literally like you said, it's a secondary job for them. So no shit, they're probably at work 9 to 5, accountants, well-paid jobs, and they're going to training the night after a full day of work, then rolling into a weekend game where they've got family commitments and all other things. Work is the big one that we're talking about here. So no shit, they're like, fuck this. You think I really care about a call one way or another? I'm not paid full-time for this. I don't get paid enough to fucking care about this.
No.
And they do a good job on a whole part. But at the moment, this year, I look at it and go, the umpires have been poor across the board. But I don't blame them because they're not on fucking full-time. So how can you blame someone for being poorer than they have been at their job when they're not being paid appropriately or put on appropriately?
And ridiculous that other sports, the referees or umpires would be full-time and it's a simpler sport. So if you take soccer, for example, there's no way that if you're a referee in the Premier League, there's no way that you're part-time. But soccer's also a very simple sport to adjudicate.
Yeah.
Our sport is one of the most complicated in the world. There's so many moving parts, so many intricacies that are always changing.
There's so many.
So if there's one sport that deserves full attention,
it's this one.
It's got to be this
one. They need to start putting them on full time. There is no, to your point there, it is not just thinking now, there's no other sport in the world that leaves decisions up to interpretation, personal interpretation, or opinion on a rule in the umpires. They have so much say in the game. So an opinion of, let's say, Jack Ginnivan, a high free kick for yesterday's game would be so different to a new set of three umpires. Like, there's probably no other sport in the world where the umpires have that much of an influence. As to your point, soccer, a set standard of rules where you know black or white, you can do this, you can't do that across the board. NFL a little bit, but they're very much because the players are slowed down and broken down. So there's a set guidelines of rules that you can do, and the NFL do their best to adjudicate it. This one here, that our sport here, there is so much that is just gray and interpretation opinion that it's just a fucking shit show. Like, it really is. So hopefully the AFL goes, you know what, let's invest in the umpires. Let's stop all this noise around them and people weekly saying the umpires aren't good enough. And I hope the umpires get paid full time. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to your point, just quickly on the NFL as well, remember that they're allowed, it's designed in their game that then the referees can come together before making a call. So they'll throw out their, you know, their yellow flag and go, all right, well, hang
let's
on.
Make a call on that.
What did you say? You saw that? I saw this. Okay, cool. We're good now.
Yeah.
Or we can go upstairs.
Yeah.
Or the opposition coach will review it.
Yeah.
And there's, a, you know, moments that can overturn a bad decision. So,
yeah. Even to extent, I mean, the goal line stuff as well. I think even the umpires themselves have lost all confidence in their ability to make a call. It really feels like it's eggshells out there for the umpires. The goal review stuff, which we've spoken about massively on this show, how annoying it is, that everything's getting either checked for a hand on a ball or a post, or there's somewhere it's like there was literally daylight between a ball and a post. So it feels like even the umpires are like, well, shit, I don't want to make a wrong call anymore. I want to keep this part-time job. They can't, they'll never win, but I think the AFL can do more to support them. On the umpires, we've said how it can be bad. Sometimes the umpiring can be good. So can we stop every time your team loses, blame the umpires? Sometimes you've just had a bad day. During the Kangaroos game and the Carlton game, the Roos gave away 650s or something like that. And the Kangaroos fans are, oh my God, 650s. They were all there, you know. Oh, they've kicked 8 goals from free kicks. They were all there. Sometimes your team just loses. Maybe I've got the wrong opinion on it, or are we comfortable running with that? If your team loses, it's the umpire's fault.
It's an easy out.
It's a massive easy out.
It's incredibly easy out.
And when Carlton lose, I'll use it 100%. So it's good that it's still in my back pocket and I haven't had to use it this year. Jordan Kiddo wrote in and said, why do the umpires have numbers on their back? Seems like it makes them easier targets for the fans. I mean, it's very pointed. If you get a bad call, it'd be like, number 20, you maggot. Like, that's very – it's a good point by Jordo.
Imagine if they just went, stuff it, we'll put their names on the back too.
Oh, just a screw.
Just to really rub it in.
Phone numbers.
Yeah, yeah. For every wrong decision, we'll add a digit of your phone number.
Texas, yeah. You didn't like that call? Text this number to tell them. Moving on for the umpires, just want to do a quick and sharp, short, general welfare check for the Eagles supporters. How are you guys feeling? Because not only are you the worst team in the league by an absolute mile at the moment, you're getting the worst commentators in your game. It's just a double whammy of absolute salt in a wound for you guys. We'll talk about it in the preview of the games, but I just feel for West Coast Eagles supporters. They're worse than they were last year. And when you're an Eagles fan and you have to turn the TV on to a Dwayne Russell, a Dermy, a Kelly Underwood, who else does the graveyard shift? Brad Johnson to an extent. A feel for you. That'd be a tough watch.
It also, you know what could be considered worse just on the other side of the coin? Imagine being one of those commentators put on that game because you very much, in no uncertain terms, have been told you're the equivalent of West Coast right
literally,
now.
Literally. This is probably the twos and we want the twos commentary on
it. Yeah. You go, oh, great.
I'm convinced. And this isn't like I'm not out to get anyone in the commentary team because I acknowledge we sit here for an hour and a half most episodes and it's hard to get words out and to think and be quick. The commentators do it quicker. So I get that that's a tough job, but I swear some of them are doing shit on purpose now. Kelly Underwood said 2014 in the preview. I reckon she knows what she's doing now. And if she's doing that on purpose, I fucking rate it so much. Just put little eggs everywhere. I love that. I rate it so much. And I'm coming around to Dermy as well. Did you see his joke about the lightning?
No, what did he say?
What did he say? He said this lightning joke is like, oh, the lightning? There's about much lightning here as the, here we go.
There's about as much lightning as it's like a desert, you know, not like a desert, but as much lightning as you find in a desert. There's nothing going on here.
I'll start a sentence, and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way, like an improv conversation. Improvisation.
Rate it. If I'm coming around to Jeremy.
There's a lot of respect there.
It's just funny now. I love it. So good on him. But yeah. Eagles fan, that was a welfare check. We're sorry about what's going on.
You've got an eagle on you, by the way. You're just sort of giving a little bit of respect. Respect to them.
I do, yeah. I could be an eagle fan. I just feel bad for him at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, the big news of the week, which probably shouldn't even be news, was the Brisbane WhatsApp rumour. So let's read this article here. The Brisbane Lions are reportedly considering a boycott of major news outlets, including newspaper The Herald Sun and radio station 3AW, over the reporting of their off-season incident, which came to light last week. The Lions leaders denied on Monday there was any link between the disappointing 0-3 start to the season and the fallout from a post-season holiday to the US. Various reports across the media have revealed an accidental upload of the WhatsApp messages to a player's iCloud. which was seen by his partner, left the teammates' partners back home in Australia furious and ended at least one relationship. That's not funny, that bit. The iCloud bit is very funny.
iCloud's just very old school to not understand
iCloud.
How
imagine
it works.
Imagine getting done by iCloud in the US, texting like, oh, who wants to see this juke? Ding! Back to your partner back home. That's a horrible way to go. Separate to that, I remember... Oh, we got robbed on the Gold Coast. We used to get robbed heaps on the Gold Coast when we lived up there.
Sorry, burgled?
Burgled all the time.
Houses?
Houses. Robbers would come into the house. Because we always lived on canals, we left the back door open thinking no one would come off a canal in the back door. But sure enough, burglars would come in the house and steal our shit.
Pirate style.
So probably five times I can recall getting robbed. On one of the times... Very much like this, they took my iPad, the burglars, and it was connected to my iCloud. So instead of like the burglars just going and resetting everything, the burglars were taking photos of this, giving me the finger in iCloud, knowing I could see it. So every day I'd have 10 photos and just the burglars giving me the finger and like partying and stuff and like all these wild things. And I was actually very impressed. I was like, that's awesome.
And they're taking it on your iPad as well.
So disrespectful.
Imagine going to a party going, look what I've got.
Look at this fucker. This guy's got connected to iCloud. So disrespectful to take someone's fucking items, take a photo of yourself with a finger up and then knowing that the iCloud's connected, this person is seeing this on their iPhone. Full kudos to those burglars. But... back to the Brisbane thing, we know the rules about Vegas. What happens there stays there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the unspoken law of this. The story definitely came back with it. Sam McClure, Mark McClure's son, ran with an absolute gutter story, which is now being thrown out there. Daisy Thomas came out and said it was off Big Footy or something like that. So Brisbane now, thanks to Sam McClure, are like, okay, Herald Sun, Channel 9, 3RW, we're out. Mm. No coverage for us, which is fair enough. look at it and think, this trip should have been a lot cooler. I would have liked a lot more strippers.
Mm.
I would have liked some more, like, you know, we're out partying, popping bottles in booths, day clubs, nightclubs, whatever it is, roulette tables. It seemed a bit lame, but also just not a story, you know? I mean, there's got to be a line here with the media where we're like, is this actually, do you honestly think contributing to why the Lions are 0-3? Or is this just an off-season trip that you're nitpicking now because things are so bad? And yeah, doesn't make sense because those things might go hand in hand, but boys are in Vegas. Let them put their hair down. Let them go and put 5,000 on black. Let them go and look at some titties. Let them go look at some tassels in the face. Let the boys be boys. I don't know about the actions. I don't care about the actions. That's your personal stuff. You do that. Do I think that's being connected to your on-field dramas at the moment? Absolutely not.
Mm.
Not a story.
I lose interest in a story like that if, you know, no one goes missing in Yosemite National Park 100%. Or Joshua Tree and joins a, you know, sort of a tribe and, you know,
tries to
Awoski and
I lose interest if someone doesn't get lost in some titties in Vegas.
Yeah, well, we've got different things we get lost in. I get lost in culture and art and national parks.
I would love to go to Vegas with you. I pray to God the AFL takes us to Vegas and you and I have to do like, well, you and I would have different experiences.
Very different. I'd be at the Hard Rock Cafe trying the menu.
I'd be off my head at a day party.
Yeah, I'll send a photo into the WhatsApp group and I'll be trying on Prince's outfit at the Hard Rock Cafe.
And I'll just be in a pool somewhere, popping bottles. But that's okay. Never know.
We're different people. That's what makes this such a beautiful show.
It makes it so good. We're unique individuals. The Gather Round, the AFL released a Gather Round Guernsey. You can get this at Rebel Sport. We're not sponsored by Rebel Sport, but that's just a freebie for them. To describe this Guernsey for you audio listeners, Sportsbet did one very similar last year with Flanners in it, which was just unreal. So they've clearly ripped that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for my hotspot here to link, but it from memory was.
I've got it up now.
Can you describe it a little bit?
Yep. So you got 9 teams on the front with pretty substantial zoomed in images of logos. So up the top left and right collar, you've got Adelaide and Brisbane. You've got Carlton next to the heart and over where your traditional badges, it just says Gather Round.
On the heart on as the, well.
Well,
full of heart we are.
Then you've got in the middle a big Magpie and Essendon,
yuck.
Freo, Geelong, and then right down the bottom where a lot of it's been trimmed off, you've got Gold Coast and GWS. Yeah.
Oh my God, there's Gather Round beanies and scarves as well. I mean, just an absolute monstrosity of a Guernsey. I get what they've tried to do here, but is anyone seriously ever going to wear that to the game? If someone, I swear to God, if someone goes to a game and wears this Guernsey... I'm not going to eat a footy.
What if I wear it?
You don't count.
Okay.
I can't think of what I'd do, but I'd be amazed if someone's wearing this. You're supporting all teams.
Yeah.
That's just not what this game's about. We're about putting a fork in the ground and sticking with your tribe, not going for all the teams. So I hate that so much, but I do love Segway, Matt Heal. Just appreciation for him again, please. Can we just appreciate what he's doing out there? He just wants it more right now, guys. He's just clearly on a different level to some of the fossils, and he's just putting them to shame with some accurate, articulate, high-level headed commentary. Have you listened to him yet, a live game or not yet?
Yeah. I listened to the one. I can't remember which game it was, but it was the game that you had listened to then our next pod.
Melbourne Dogs.
That's G. The one. And... yeah, he was very good.
He's very good. We love him. So I just wanted to give him some kudos because he's doing some things out there which isn't, well, obviously trained to an extent, but just wants it more than anyone else. And I love it. Lots of frustrated fans this round. And I get the frustration from you guys out there. You all support different teams and we love that about you. And we love that you play each other every week and you support your team through the ups and downs. So, in light of that, we asked you guys the top 5 most frustrating teams in the AFL to support in no particular order. And what came through was just so loud and clear. Number 1, St Kilda. After the weekend, totally get that. You beat Collingwood 1 week and then you lose to Essendon. So frustrating. The Crows. Now, do you want to let loose on the City of Adelaide and the people again or not? Because people have given you a green light to do so.
But oh.
We are going there, so be very careful. I run the streets in Adelaide. You want to be careful what you say here.
Oh, well, if you're with me at all times, I'll
no,
say...
No, I would have banded you like fucking so quickly.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with what they're doing. They're not very good.
Oh, you pull that back to us so much. Adelaide, yeah, I get that. That was embarrassing the weekend, what you did over there in Frio. West Coast, we've spoken about. Yep. Frustrating. Essendon, got a win on the weekend, but God, you'd be frustrated. You guys, you'd have the biggest finals blue balls in the world. And surprisingly, everyone said Carlton still, which I get. I do get as a Carlton fan. You don't know what happened between the season of 2017 to 2022, mate. It has been a shit show.
Do you know what happened between the season 1966 and 2024?
I know, but that's just like, go at least you've been good though, like throughout that period. You made two grand finals.
Yep.
You were consistently good. You haven't bottomed out, is the thing I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Where Carlton have bottomed out like really badly. So I get that Carlton fans are still a little bit on edge. I think we will never be, speaking as a Carlton fan, we'll never be content unless we win a grand final.
That's fair.
We could make a grand final and you would still be flat with it.
Yeah.
We need to win a grand final.
I think based on this round, I don't really understand Carlton being in there. I'd probably add in Brisbane above Carlton as a fan base.
But grand final, home finals.
Yeah, but isn't this question... Are you talking in general?
In general so far.
Or just right now?
No, not based on round to round. Just the fans out there, who are you most frustrated? That was that list. That's what came through loud and clear to us.
Well, I'm not having out the people.
It sounds like you are in Adelaide again. You've got to be very careful with Adelaide, mate. The streets are going to own
you. I love the city. I love one of their teams.
Yes.
There's another team there that I'm not massively wrapped on.
Yeah, and you've said they are extremely entitled and pretentious.
A lot of them are quite posh.
They live in nice houses, they do.
Yeah, I sat next to a lot of old people knitting at the Adelaide Oval when I lived
there. They do like to knit.
So that's all I'm saying.
And they're all brothers and sisters. Let's go through the footy now. Pies v. Brisbane. This is a long round, so you guys might have vague memory of what happened here because it's been so long. But on Thursday, we had Pies v. Brisbane, and I wrote here, but I don't remember writing this, but coaches have three areas of the game that if you win, 9 out of 10, you win the game. Yes, this is right. So coaches actually do have this thing that they tell their players that if you win three main categories, which I'm about to tell you, then 90% of the time, you win the game. If you tick all three, you win a game. Those are contested footy, clearances, and tackles. Collingwood lost two of those things against Brisbane. They lost the contested possession 134 to 133. They lost clearances 42 to 34, but won the tackle count 85 to 53. Normally, a coach would say, you lose that game. Full credit, pulled out a win and looked good. Didn't score in the second quarter, which was, I think, after their good first quarter, people were looking at it. I was looking at it going, okay, this is going to be what Collingwood are now. They're going to have these periods of being really good and Collingwood like, and then they're going to fall away quickly. But to their credit, to come back after halftime and be like, nah, we're in Brizzy. We know what we are. We know what we're doing. We believe ourselves. We back ourselves. I have no doubt Fly gave them one of the biggest rockets about tackling pregame and all this week because they came out and just tackled everything that moved. And it was good to see. Someone who has been hard on Collingwood, it was actually good to see a team get their swagger back.
Mm.
I liked it a lot. This isn't for Brisbane. I know that WhatsApp is running wild and the iClouds are connected, but this isn't a state of panic for Brizzy at all if you're a Brizzy fan. This is, they're doing things well. They're winning contested possession. They're clearing the football. They just can't connect going forward at all. There's nothing working up forward for them. They still look a bit sloppy and slow. I don't know if Vegas had anything to do with it. I mean, maybe some of them are thinking about titties. I don't know. We don't know, but they'll be okay. Brizzy, you'll be okay. As if you're a Brisbane fan freaking out at the moment, you have no reason to freak out. Penderbury punched Neil open-palmed in the chest, got a $2,500 fine. This is my opinion, guys, and we're all going to argue on it. I think that's a week. If you're telling me Peter Wright gets 4 weeks for a football act and Penderbury can not look at a contest and palm someone's heart further into their body, I think that's a week.
Well, we've seen it in martial arts films. You can do some serious damage by that move.
He thought he was Bruce Lee. It looked like he was trying to rip his heart out.
It was I've said this word a couple of times, but I find it very humorous on a football field when there's just something quite petty, and I found that quite petty. It wasn't a punch.
No.
It was just a slap to the chest.
Yeah.
And it was a bit like, Scott,
don't do that.
What's the point?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, it was just, I didn't.
Just annoying, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, we love Scott. I didn't like the act. It was just not needed. Like, you don't need to do that. It's just dirt. It was, I don't know if dirty is the right word, but it felt just grubby to me.
Incredibly unnecessary in every way, shape, or form. Nothing would have changed the game if he didn't do that. Like, it's just...
Why? Why? But the AFL said it's all good. Clear from us. Here's a $2,500 fine. So that means if you're... Remember, guys, the AFL, when they make a decision, it's not based on that to an extent it is, but it's not wholly based on the repercussions of that incident to that player. It has a trickle-down effect to grassroots football, the VFL, junior football. They're now telling people that, hey, you can do that.
Yeah, so at Auskick level, you slap someone in the chest, all you have to do in response is maybe give back your Macca's voucher that you might get.
Yeah. And look, to an extent, there is you're trained to make those moves. So as a forward or in the midfield, I didn't get anywhere near the ball, but I spent a bit of time training there. You are taught techniques to look at the ball and chest off. That was just a full like thug move, I thought. But oh, he has $2,500 fine. He's only had two fines in his 387
it's pretty amazing. Game
career. Unbelievable. The fact he's played 387 games as well, as a side note, just crazy. Don't know how his body's doing that.
Nah.
387. You could not describe anything more anxiety. For 387 games every Friday night, he's had pasta. Mm-hmm. For 387 games every Saturday, he's been maybe anxious about playing football. Maybe he just loves football. But for me, I would be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
300, great effort.
And his body doesn't look like a 400 gamer, does it? When you think about some of the players who have reached that.
Yeah. Well, it's his basketball background.
Yeah.
It's all that conditioning when he played basketball when he was 8 years old that his body is used to being on a hard basketball court. So now that he's on grass, there's no wonder his body appreciates it.
There you go.
So, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom for Brizzy, as we said, but the Pies just look good after halftime. Linking up plays. Johnny Noble was good. I thought he gave him something down back.
Hey, you were calling out for him to play.
I pleaded. Thank God someone's fucking listening to the show, because we screamed from the rooftops here. We got on the roof here and just screamed at Fly and said, fucking Big Noble, and they did and they listened. Trailer Frampton, I think, is playing unbelievable football. He held Hipwood predominantly and Danaher to one goal between them. They just can't get goals at the moment, Brizzy. So I have no doubt that they'll... I don't know who they have this week. I think they have North in Mount Barker or something like that. Oof. But that could be a genuine let's get our mojo back here game for them. A big time. And they need some confidence. So I think they'll be looking at this game coming up if they do play Kangaroos. I'm not sure. As a game where they... Yeah, they are. As a game where they say, let's get this shit back on track. Let's just put a foot... Let's go to Adelaide on a business trip and get our feet ready and start stepping on some throats again. Because that's what we did last year. Friday night, Good Friday. It was a good Friday if you're a Carlton fan, because this turned into a genuine slaughter fest after quarter time. The Carlton mids got on top, and then the Kangaroo Snooze were just all at sea. And I felt super bad for Toby Pink, because he would have probably gone into that game saying, I actually don't mind this AFL caper. This is okay. There's a lot of inside 50s coming my way, but I enjoy this. And in about half time, he would have thought, fuck this. This is not for me. I don't want any part of this. I feel bad for him. Harry and Charlie is a massive task. Just swapping on you all the time. So I felt for poor Toby Pink, but for Carlton fans, Charlie and Harry are playing as good football together as they ever have. I haven't seen them play this well together. Normally it's been one the other, but for them to now work together, Harry a bit higher up and swinging to a Charlie deep or vice versa, it looks good. And they have space. The big thing about them in the previous years that they were leading in the same spots or they were, you know, going for marks in the same contest, they generally look like they figured out, like, we need 40 metres of space between each other, which is good to see as a Carlton fan, because the midfield is there for the supply, for the Blues. That's always going to be there. The back line is so secure now. Whedon coming back made this thing look so much better. The forward line has always been the thing of, like, can this thing actually work and actually make it a genuine premiership threat, which it looks like it is. And don't you forget that Carlton have spent money to make this team. They went out and bought Williams, Akers, Newman, Hewitt, Saad, and said, fuck the draft picks. We don't care. We've got our Walsh. We've got our Wedering. We've got our 2017 draft. We're good for 10 years here. Fuck the draft picks. We'll go spend some cash. So this is the window now where they go, we've made this.
And for Charlie and Harry in particular, it's just great to see that they've been allowed some – time to be consistent with both of them in the same team, because even when they have been in the same side, you're right, like they haven't connected like this.
No.
But then they've spent a lot of time where either one
has to be the guy,
hasn't been in, you know, and they've just relied on themselves. So just goes to show how important that is to just have that general consistency, and who knows what they can do.
It's pretty rare to be like you have two big dogs up there who think they're the man.
It's true.
Like, you know, a lot of the team have two genuine demands up there.
I reckon like Hipwood and Danaher would think that they're both
probably
the boys.
I mean, Hipwood, yeah, I think Hipwood would think he's the boy. He's not playing like he's the boy. But it's rare to have these two. And I don't know which one from looking at the game thinks they're the guy at Carlton at the moment between Harry and Charlie. And I don't think they care. I think as long as they win, whatever.
Yeah.
It can be a Harry kicking five or it could be a Charlie kicking seven. As long as they win, I don't think they care. Normally, you'd have this like dynamic and energy where it's not working. They know it's not working. They get frustrated. But they look like, we don't care which one has to do it this week. Let's just do it. It's a better, more structured Carlton this year than last year. And people are saying, oh, you haven't played anyone yet. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. We beat Brisbane at home coming off a grand final. And I know when they went to Vegas and that was a big trip. I get that. But they were at home, 48 points up. We came back and beat them. We beat a Richmond. We beat a Kangaroos. All we can do is beat what's in front of us. We go to gather round. We play Flag Mantle, who are 3-0. And we'll see what happens. And then you get your gauge of where this team's at. But stop saying you haven't beat anyone. Take it up with the fucking AFL. It's the fixture that's there and we're just ticking them off as we go.
It's just a shit phrase in general as well, because you have played people. say you've not played anyone of good quality.
Horrible.
Not you've not played anyone.
Yeah, we've played teams.
You've got to beat them.
I love Orazio as a sub. I think that's his role all year. I love when he came. He just injected something and he looks like a subby player, as vague as that is. He looks like someone who's going to come in all year and just can bob up and kick two, can bob up and provide some real energy. Cripper has started the season on the radar, averaging 27, but it's been the first year where you look at Cripper and say, you don't need to be the guy. Again, like Harry and Charlie, you don't need to do it all this year. Like, you got Hewitt, who was massive on the weekend. You've got Carroll, who's come in and playing a real good role. All these pieces are coming in helping me out, so he doesn't need to do everything like he has in the past. And for the Ruse, you just don't have defenders. That's the reality of it. I like your midfield. I love your forward line. Every time it goes in there, I am all about Paul Curtis at the moment. I think you just pay him whatever he wants when he comes out of contract. But you need to go out and just spend money and need to go and pay $100,000, $200,000 over asking price for any centre-half back or fullback in the free agency or the off-season. Go and give big money to someone and then you'll have something. But I generally like what they're building there. Harry Shees was a star. The only reason he doesn't get the recognition that Dacos is because he plays the Kanga Snooze. And as I said, the forward line is dangerous. LDU is a Cripper 2.0. They are exactly the same player. So Kangaroo fans, it's going to be a long year, no doubt. You play West Coast in round 13. I think you win that game over there. That'll be fun for you guys. That'll be fun. We knew it was going to be a tough year for you. Here we go. This game is an absolute fucking snooze fest, but we've got to do it. Freo v Adelaide, and we know you're angry Adelaide fans, and I get you. Kicking 4 goals, 10 in a game is just would do my nut in as well. But for Freo, sometimes you just got to roll the sleeves up and win a game of footy. And this game was close for three quarters maybe. And then Freo just put the foot down, but it was not a sexy game of football at all. It was just ugly, but sometimes you have to win ugly. People saying that Ned McHenry took the pregame speech. Mm. Did you see this or not?
I did see it, and I'm thinking, you got
you
a guy.
Hold back. I'm going to hold you back here about Adelaide. Here we go.
The guy is not even in the best setup.
He's not.
There.
No, he's not in their best team.
He's been a sub, or he's just not been picked at all. And now you've got someone taking
the pregame stuff. Now, I don't know if they were wearing black armbands, it was a reason for him taking that. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think so.
Well, if that's the case,
if that's the case, we understand.
Yeah.
But I think I looked at it going, that's fucking weird. Where's Dawson? Is Dawson just like getting some DP on the hammies or because why the fuck is Ned McHenry speaking? Now, he might have been doing that, as we said, and then it's fine. It's okay. Like, fully respect that. But also, just fucking weird if not.
Mm.
And that maybe that's an insight to where the Crows are at.
They make interesting leadership decisions at the Crows. You know, let's not forget they let the players pick. and vote. Like it's, you know, grade three school representative council
voting. Yeah, popularity contest. Yeah. Leadership votes are just a popularity contest, I'm telling you. I mean, I was popular. I never got in, so maybe that doesn't count. But if it was based on popularity at the Suns, I would have been fucking captain by a mile. Gaz wouldn't have stood a chance. The broccoli eating fuck. Crows were, as I said, Crows were in the game until halfway through the third, but Freo just look fit. And we said that with everything they lost over the offseason, that this would just be a team that were going to bottom out and things weren't going to gel for them. But to their credit, they just worked their ass off and they work well together and there's no thrills about them. There was this comment that was left from Tobes to us. It goes, the 3-0 flag mantle is like when you order shitty Chinese takeaway and the corner of the lid is just ripping off. So I think Tobes means like instead of the lid coming off, you know when you buy a takeaway from a shitty Chinese and like you go to rip it off and just like the corner snaps off?
Mm.
That's how Tobes thinks about the 3-0 flag mantle. I mean, yeah, it's not a sexy 3-0 at all, but you take it.
Look, I was just going to say you'd perhaps make the argument that maybe Carlton's isn't as sexy as either. Like, it doesn't matter.
But maybe that's just the way Freo are going to be this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just going to be like, you know what, we win ugly and if the other team scores four goals and we kick five, fuck it, we'll take it. We don't want to be sexy. We don't have any sexiness really about us.
And I like the fact that you're starting to, like the longer that the season goes on, we're starting to really, really understand what you think of each team. And I like that you say, Sydney Swans, you're just hot.
Yeah.
Freo, you're just fit.
Yeah.
And we can kind of.
Yeah, just fit.
We just like pigeonholing, which we enjoy doing.
Not like, not a big personality at all. Just fit though. Just runs, you know. Yep. Just good at running and staying fit all the time. No personality to it, but it's good. Nat Fyfe is not the Nat Fyfe that he was and that we know, but he is just doing some things out there for him and getting him over the line. He's still got just so clean on the ground and in the air. He's making people around him better. The market and on Sportsbet isn't telling us that Freo are a flag chance at all. So for everyone yelling flag mantle, I get that. I understand the hype. I'm 3-0 as well with Carlton, but they are paying $18 to win the flag. So they're just early in the season. I get that. We're still waiting for a test here. But as I said, they play Carlton next week and we'll know where both teams are at. Where we don't know where a team is at is the Crows. I have no idea where the Crows are at. And in the offseason, a lot of people were saying, oh, the Crows are going to play finals this year. We've had such a good season prior in 2023 and we won everything at home. We couldn't win away, but that's okay. We're going to play finals this year. I did not see it at all. I came here and I said to you, if you cannot win a game at home, or if you cannot win away, then you aren't going to be nowhere near finals. They can't win at home. They can't win away. And they have one more game left in them until I put a line through them.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what they stand for. Their forward line cannot score, and I'm not blaming Tex because he's 33. And if you're expecting Tex to kick 70 goals again this year, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen.
If they're one game away from you scratching them out, they take on Melbourne Thursday.
Thursday night could be the night.
And the pressure, though, to kick gather round off in style with the South Australian team winning is pretty big.
Good, everyone. So everyone there. All the Adelaideans are tuning in.
Yep.
Hey, Adelaide, we're taking this thing and we're bringing it to you. We're bringing the whole game to you. You've got to show us what you got on Thursday night. Everyone's going to be there. It's a big event. I hope they do. I'm from Adelaide. The town loves me. The streets fucking love me. I am an Adelaide gangster. I run shit there. Okay? I would love for the Crows to turn it on there, but I think they're in all sorts. How's this? I found I actually did some investigating, which is weird. They only have four players averaging 20 touches or more this year.
Mm.
Crouch, Laird, Dawson, and Hinge. That screams like you are living up to four players every week to do everything. That four players averaging 20 or more. Hinge is just averaging 20 on the dot. You're not even getting your hands on it.
No.
Like crazy, crazy. And as you said, they play Melbourne on Thursday night and Melbourne honestly could come in here and just be like, we don't give a fuck that this game is here for you. We're going to just... Sorry, fuck me. I didn't even mean to try it then. Sorry.
That's your seventh. Ten and you're out, I'd say.
Sorry. So let's see what happens Thursday night in Adelaide. But hopefully the Crows turn it on. Essendon v St Kilda. Now, I would like to get your thoughts first on it before I dissect it. as the in-house Saints man?
Well, I think it's important to start off on a positive note that we can both agree on. Now, we're not wearing it right now because we're saving it for our very important 9-hour trip to Adelaide.
Mm.
But we did get our candy stripe Guernseys.
We did. And they're amazing.
And they're so good.
So thank you so much to St Kilda. We love them so much. We will wear them in Adelaide. Yeah. Thank you to Freo as well. So I know it's not about them, but thank you to them. But yes, they look really good.
But more thank you to St Kilda.
More thank you to St Kilda,
because they gave us two.
They gave us two. And I didn't ask for one for Freo. I'm sure they would have sent one. But they gave us two and we got the long sleeves.
So you so tell cool. me. So if Freo cool. come in with a second one, I'll thank them equally.
Mm, they're listening.
Okay, thoughts?
Yeah.
There's no wonder that when you read out the list of the five teams that it would be most frustrating to support right now, that the first team out of your mouth was St Kilda.
Yeah.
It just...
Is that how you feel as a Saints fan?
100%. Mm-hmm. I feel a loss against Geelong was a bitter pill to swallow because there were moments where we could have taken away. But having said that, away to Geelong, always going to be tough. I cop that. Back at Marvel, our favourite deck.
Yeah. You love it there.
Genuinely no excuses to be losing that game, I don't think. I am not being biased when I think I don't see Essendon and St Kilda at the same level. I think that we're not maybe miles ahead, but I feel we're at least three spots ahead of Essendon. So, yeah, some really silly decisions and one man in particular who's wrapped up in a tight little bow and a sneaky little package. Really.
Contract year.
Really, he did. He did it all.
But the umpires were bad, you'd admit.
No, they were terrible. No, they were fucked.
Mate, I think you've summed up well as a Saints fan. So many frustrated Saints fans out there writing into us. But to the Bombers, big ticker.
Yeah.
Trail all game and to be like, nah, we're taking it. I didn't know how the Saints would structure up without King, but they looked good for three quarters. You had Higgins popping up like the pop-up sprinkler, as he does. Just pops up and kicks goals, Higgo.
Yep.
And Caminiti looked okay, looked like he kicked a couple, so he was that key forward up there. But it was always going to be the battle of the midfields, and both of the midfields were just racking up on the fast deck. We had, you know, Merritt racking up the footy, Steele, Parrish, Ross, Hill, just had big days. Nick Martin had 44, Nick Martin? Crazy. But also I watched that game to Nick Martin and said, have you? Have you had 44? Because it feels like you've been around it a little bit, but not 44 times.
Mm.
I didn't really do the damage that you think a 44 game would do. So full credit to him. He's playing that role so well. To have 44 in a game is a huge effort, but I didn't think it was the best 44 game I've ever seen. Contract stringer. Why do people not listen to what we're saying here? I feel like people are now starting to get it, but we make some calls and we've made calls before the season started and things have just come into fruition. We told you, contract stringer is going to have the biggest year ever. He's playing for that dough, so you know he's going to have a big year. He kicked three. He's now kicked 10 goals in three games. He kicked 21 last year and 25 the year before. He might be the first $2 million player ever, the way he's going. Contract stringer is just backing up the stack trucks at the moment. It's unbelievable what he's doing. To that goal he kicked as well, like backed himself in from 54 on a tight angle at Marvel and said, oh, I'm going to drag this team over the line. Just give him the open checkbook at the moment. I said last week that he would be looking at two years on 600K. This is a four-year deal thing at the moment. And you just pay him. Just pay him, because if he's doing that consistently, the big issue with contract stringer is when he's not in contract year, you just get Jake.
Yeah.
I want contract stringer. I don't want Jake.
So we just sign him on 1-year deals, so he's always in a contract
year. Always in contract. It would make sense to me. St Kilda, we've spoken about it a lot. When we know they love ripping 45s. And in that last 2 minutes when they actually had to rip 45, I looked at it and said, okay, you guys are now tightening up and you have to go down the line. Or even Essendon started tightening up their structure, so they forced you down the line. And it looked like you didn't know the scenarios of how you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Every team practices the two-minute drill where you're down by 5 points, down by whatever it is. It looked to me like they weren't ready for that scenario, which obviously they were because they would train every scenario. But it just looked like things got tight for him. And that was always the question on St Kilda and is going to be the question this year. When a team locks down your 45s, how are you going to go getting that ball through? You don't think they'll be around the same spot in the ladder, or you just think St Kilda are above them?
I think they'll be around, but I in my head, Saints will probably be three two or three spots ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I have them both. I had Essendon making the eight in eighth, and I have the Saints around the 8th to 11th window.
Really?
Yeah.
Has that changed at all? Because we could have, probably should have beaten Geelong. We were great against the Pies.
Mm.
And then let's say, for argument's sake, we just look at this game like they just stuffed it up. They just didn't execute, you know.
I think we all need to give every team 6 to 7 games before we definitely sort of know where they're going to...
Hey, not all the teams, because we've crossed out a couple.
We've crossed out Hawthorne, West Coast and North.
And correct. Adelaide are on
And Adelaide standby. Are on the brink. They've got the texture just ready to go. So I think once we get to round 6, 7, we'll know, okay, you're final. But initially I had Essendon 8th and St Kilda in the 8th to 12th window, making that last spot. So who knows? This game was just a game of the round. Unbelievable. In Adelaide, Port v Melbourne. And the Melbourne Football Club at the moment is just a fucking kennel full of Dobermans, German Shepherds, Pit Bulls, whatever the nastiest, scariest dog in the world is, it's in the Melbourne Footy Club right now. They don't give one fuck about the outside noise. Drugs, partying, whatever it might be, whatever. That is just allegations off our back. They go to Adelaide after the week they had. They don't have Stephen May. They knock over one of the best teams in the comp. And they're loving being public enemy number one.
Mm.
I love this team at the moment.
I like that. Allegations off a duck's back.
Mm. Wayne Carey.
Yeah, that doesn't really work in that scenario, does it?
No, but he told the truth all the time. I just love what they're doing at the moment. Yeah. I forgot how good Jake Lever was.
Yep.
I really did forget how good he was. He's unbelievable. The role he played without May was just big time for them. Gorn is an All-Australian ruckman again and has it on his mind. I think he was dirty last year about having to give up half his season to see if the Grundy experiment would work. He's come in and just chosen violence, had 20 touches and 50 hitouts. Neil Bullen, I love what he does. At any other club, he would be spoken about as a stud. He just plays his role and plays it extremely well. Melbourne, and it's crazy here, but you know how we spoke about the three categories at the start of the review, they got smacked in every one of those categories. And good teams just find ways to win when nothing's going their way. Ken noticed it after the game and said, we're a really good team, but if you're going to beat the really good teams, you need some luck. And he was right. Port had 21 more inside 50s, 15 more clearances, 36 more touches, 2 more contested possessions, 7 more marks inside 50, 11 more tackles inside 50, 10 more tackles, and 3 more shots on goal. But everyone knows that footy is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, and 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
Did you, is that yours? That's really nice.
It's my own. I made that up.
Yeah. That's very
Everyone knows that. Everyone knows about footy. But it could have gone all the way. And like Brizzy, Port fans, nothing to worry about here. You're going to be fine. I think you would have wanted a bit more from Dixon and Marshall, given that what Melbourne was missing. But you are going to be fine.
I'm so sorry to derail things like this, but I just thought about Dixon the other day. I watched the replay of the first goal scored by Gold Coast Suns, which was Charlie Dixon.
Oh, yeah. I remember it.
That man, I don't think I've ever seen a bigger transformation in someone's face.
Oh, a real puppy dog, wasn't he?
It doesn't look.
He had the little fat in his face.
Anywhere.
Yeah,
like he was the same
puppy dog.
Genuine
puppy dog. I know. He was always so big and just like strong and powerful like he is. But then to what he is now, he's like jacked as now.
Yeah.
Fit. Back then he was like, I don't care about diet. I'm just going to be big and strong and I'm going to kick goals for you. But I mean, he's coming to the end of his career. He probably only has 1 or 2 more years left.
Yeah.
He's been a good player for, you know, a long time, but The funniest, not funniest thing, but the thing that I found so amusing was Radaglia's mark on the goal line.
Mm.
So no one, if you didn't see it, no one on the goal line. I'm one of those ones where it's close, where normally you either put the hands out and mark it before the goal line or you can just touch it over. Radaglia decided to take a chest mark behind the goal line, which who knows if that would have stopped momentum, but just found it very amusing. And Ken would have gone absolutely bunter at that in the box.
Mm.
I love shit like that. Just amusing stuff. So I'm sure he'll never take a chest mark on the line again. West Coast v Bulldogs will fly through this because this is just, as we said, West Coast. I don't know what's going on there at the moment, but apparently the memberships to be a West Coast member went up this year.
Which, well done.
Which is unbelievable. So I just can't believe that West Coast fans are now paying more to be more
paying. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. I got that wrong. The price has gone up.
to be, apparently, but people writing in saying their membership has gone up.
I thought you meant the memberships have gone up.
No. I'm sure they probably have. The price to be a West Coast member has gone up.
That's stiff.
From last year. Ooh. So you're paying more to be in more pain.
Yeah.
They've lost every quarter they've played in this year.
Yeah.
This game was just a ground and pound from the Dogs, just consensually as well. And even the Bont couldn't be fucked with them. He said, I cannot be fucked with you guys. Just put me forward and I'll kick three goals. It's just, I don't, as we said, they're definitely worse. Like a lot of you did say that my call of West Coast winning their first game in round 13 is going to be the worst call ever because they're not even going to win that. And it looks like that. I just don't see, I don't know what their answer is at the moment. I think it's a genuine just bunker down and pump games into Harley Reid and get another number one pick. But there's no way Harley Reid's looking at this thing saying, I'm sticking around for this.
No.
That's the hard thing about being so bad is that you get your talent in, but then you're so poor that your talent goes, I'm fucking out of here. Like, why would I waste my years? Yeah. Why would Harley Reid now, 5 years he's going to have to put into this thing to maybe for it to turn around?
Mm.
Like, you'd be like, no way.
Compare that to a Chris Jard when he went over. There's a genuine argument as to why he would have enjoyed his time.
Yeah.
And thought, okay, well, I will go home eventually, but I'll see this through for a little bit. But
No way. You just wouldn't. The Gold Coast is having the same thing, and I know different scenarios, but as young kids, when you're getting pounded every week and you're a number one pick, whatever pick you are, top pick in the country, you don't want to be there in that situation. Mm. Every week is just a long week. The year goes long. He'd be seriously asking some questions of, when can I potentially get out of here? Rory Lobb is making TikToks about playing in the VFL. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a get ready with me for my first VFL game.
Yeah. Well, I can't get that shit off my fucking algorithm. So the options are either I block Rory Lobb or I delete TikTok. And I actually like TikTok.
Do you like Rory Lobb? Or do you just don't like the combo?
I just don't like the TikToks.
Yeah.
It just does nothing for... I like Rory Lobb. I think he's nice. I've met him a couple of times. But the TikToks are just like a lot to do with. And just, I get their fun and taking the piss, but also just play footy, you know? Let's just play footy, Rory.
Jeez, how old are you sounding? Get off TikTok and concentrate on footy. What? This is a real bizarre turnaround.
It is.
You.
I feel a bit weird today.
You do feel weird?
Yeah, I'm acting a little bit... Yeah.
Is it because you're going back to Adelaide?
I'm pretty stressed about that.
Yeah.
The streets owe me out of there. You know that.
Or are you just saying the content is annoying?
I just think, you know what it is? I think I keep thinking of everything as if I was in the locker room.
Okay.
Because if I was in the locker room and a player that I played with was making TikToks about playing VFL,
yeah,
knowing he's on like $1 million or something around that, 800, let's say,
yeah,
I'd be like, hey, let's just train kind of thing.
So it would be different to if a teammate was doing like cooking videos or something. Like that would be different. It's the content that you're.
It's the content. Yeah. It's the context of the content.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. I don't care. Who cares what I say? Honestly, like, is anyone actually fucking listening to what I say? I actually rate it. Fuck it. Make more. I've come full 360 on it.
Get
Make
ready
more
with me.
TikToks about it.
About the VFL.
I know. Tim English. Sorry, we know contract Stringer is in contract year. Timmy English is in contract year as well.
Oh, big
and
time.
He would have added 200,000 to that contract for West Coast. Doing that to them, just taking them to town, 200K more on it. He's definitely going there.
Mm.
I don't want to sound like Sam McClure. That sounded a bit like it. You think he's going there?
It's locked in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's confirmed. Richmond v Sydney.
Oh, before we do that, did we find out the attendance? Because I know before...
Oh, my God, yes. And they commented on our post. So I said something about... I think I commented something on their post and they said to me, you would have been happy with our attendance. So can you find out their attendance while I keep talking?
Yeah, I don't know if I...
I think if you go to the AFL website, it'll say official attendance.
Okay.
Or just Google attendance.
Okay.
I'll keep going. You come back when you're ready.
Okay. No worries.
The game between Richmond and Sydney. Richmond played terribly for two... Richmond have played terribly for 2 weeks and then they go and beat what people are saying the premiership favourites. And you go, oh, well, maybe they can... Make the A. And maybe they're just a team that is going to be up and down all year and that's just in their DNA. Because at halftime, you go there, you sit there and you go, okay, Sydney are going to come back and just win this thing so easily. And it's going to maybe be bad for Richmond with where they're at. But they just dug the heels in and didn't roll over. Have you got the attendance?
I've got it.
What is it?
What are we? I said 15 would be...
I said a 20 would be good.
20 would be good. 15 would be a sort of minimum.
Yeah.
They got 22.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, yeah.
It's 2,000 better than your baseline level of good.
Pretty good by me to pick that.
That's the really good thing.
How many members they have?
Well, to be fair, this was in Melbourne, in a Western Bulldogs home.
Yeah, so I'm still sticking fat with that. I don't think Doggies fans go to the football.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't feel like they storm the G or they like flock numbers to a game.
Yeah.
I feel like they're very much, let's just sit at home and watch football.
Or they're almost like the Truman Show version of AFL fans.
Yeah, like true. Or all their members could be Dogs.
That's true.
Because they have dog memberships.
That's it.
Oh my God, have we cracked their membership?
That's it. Oh, that's so it.
That's it. That's why the membership's so high. Because oh my God.
So you got a house in Footscray with one person with a membership, but then they've bought
three for their dogs.
Three or four for their dogs.
We've cracked it. That's why they have so many members, because they count dog memberships. Makes sense. Makes sense. As I was just saying, Richmond just dug the heels in here on Sunday, long week. Just dug the heels in. I had no right winning this game against Sydney. Didn't have anyone, no Martin. We know the injuries they have. Their playing group is thin. It gets to eight players and then it just thins out like my hairline. It is just no fucking right to win this game. And to their credit, they dug their heels in and said, nah, we're going to pinch this from Sydney. So I don't know what it says about Sydney. I think they're definitely not alarm bells, but questions over where we thought Sydney were and what they actually are. We do know that there was carnage for Richmond after this game. And Adam Uze, we warned you multiple times about Tom Lynch and how precious he is. And I told you what would happen. I remember saying this will happen if you don't look after him and bring him back for the twos and condition his body. He has torn his hamstring tendon and he's out for 8 to 12 weeks. Adam, what the fuck, mate? Listen to the show. Like, yeah. We told, don't listen to your physios. Listen to us. Bolter is also out for 3 to 5 weeks with a knee injury. Liam Baker was given a 1 week ban. And for salt to this wound, there was also more Swans fans at the games than Tigers supporters, ooh, which we're hearing, which you guys are telling us, which would be, I mean, Easter Sunday.
Hey, Easter Sunday afternoon onwards, far better than 1 o'clock.
True.
Which the Doggies faced.
Yeah, true.
I think that you can get away with a Sunday night, yeah, or Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Heaney is just winning the Brownlow at the moment. He is just an absolute stud in there in the midfield. He's the best midfielder. Oh, no, I've said that to about too many people. He's a very good midfielder. Not everyone can be the best midfielder in the comp. That was very SEN-like. I feel gross. Yeah, I feel so
you're
gross
so
after saying that.
You're so different today. I hate it.
I feel gross after saying that. He's just hot.
There you go.
Now I'm back. He's just a hot human being, guys. And sometimes...
He's the hottest player in the AFL.
Sometimes being hot has its perks.
Yeah.
I mean, Liam Baker will get a blank check. Adam Uze said that. He's going to get a blank check and write whatever figure he wants on it. Nick Flosson had 29 touches at 100% disposal efficiency. Mm-hmm. That's crazy because the game is fucking hard. And for you to not miss a target and go 100%, great effort. So I think the Tigers lose by 100 points next game. Don't even know who they're playing, but I think with all that...
St Kilda.
We're at which oval, do you know?
Norwood. Home of,
yeah,
home of goals.
That's my home. The statue, there's actually a statue of me at Norwood Oval.
Yeah,
if you see it, guys, take a photo of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you're going to Norwood Oval, tag us that you're there and we'll tell you where the statue is.
Yeah,
it's a hidden statue.
Okay.
Yep, Cooper Stadium, they call it.
So you need like a more orders map.
There's actually a going stand there. Okay. There's actually a going stand there as well. Okay, last game yesterday, Hawks v Geelong, and it started like it was going to be a foot on the throat mission for the Cats, but in the second quarter, to the Hawks' credit, they came out and just started playing like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing like dogs. I don't know. Did we give the Wizard the nickname the Wizard a little bit too early? Because he missed that. I mean, he was the Wizard. He made the goals disappear in front of that goal when he had a shot.
Do it again.
What?
You can't laugh before you've told your joke that you wrote at 1 o'clock last, you know, 1 a.m. last night.
So did we give the Wizard the nickname a little bit too early? What? I mean, he bloody is the Wizard. He made the goals disappear when he had a shot for him. That was very funny, though, when he was in front of the goals and he missed the goals completely.
Give that to Jeremy Piven for tonight's show.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven.
That'll get people going.
Yeah, Ari. Yeah. I mean, that was very impressive to miss the goals from where he was. And Bruce then slipped over and missed one as well. It was a bit comedic there at times for Hawthorn. But to their credit, just came back and found a way to beat dogs. Jack Ginnivan. The tax is real on Jack Gittivan. If you're Jack Gittivan, you pay the price of being an AFL footballer because he can't buy free at the moment. Sam Mitchell takes the AFL and asks some questions. Ask Laura Kane, who does Jack Gittivan need a fuck to get a free kick? It's a joke. Even I said they're going, come on. Come on. One has to be. And don't say it's the umpires again, but wish they were full-time. Maybe they'd know. A three-quarter time, we had a lightning break. Didn't know this rule on lightning, and I don't really care, but some people find it interesting. But the AFL rule states that in the event of a match being called off, the scores of the teams at halftime of the home and away match will be deemed to be the final scores if Thunder calls the game off. I don't even know if that's fair or accurate, but interesting to see. So you could have literally, as I was saying in the commentary, a 5-goal win, you're going to it 3-quarter time, and then lose because you were down by a point at halftime. Crazy. Geelong's young kids are very, very good. Bruin was good. Holmes is good. Dempsey, Clark and Conway. So I thought that they were going to thin out completely because they said, fuck these draft picks, and they won the flag a couple of years ago. But they're going to be very competitive for a long time. And Hawks fans, just be patient. In 2 years, you'll have something good here. Mm-hmm. You'll have something good. You're just baking a cake, and in 2 years' time, you'll be good. But I get why you're so frustrated, because with what I saw yesterday and watching the game, I'd be frustrated as well. Quick break here. I don't ask for much, but I am asking you guys to please do me a favor and follow, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on right now to join the community, join something we're building here. When you do that, it helps all of us here build an amazing show for you guys. It allows us to get more guests because they see the ratings and the follows and all these numbers and they go, wow, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So please, takes 2 seconds to do it right now. Obviously, if you're not driving, if you are driving, pull over and do it. Follow, subscribe. Thank you so much. Let's do a few updates here. First of all, let's start off with the Gatorade Team of the Year, brought to you by Gatorade, the Lids Off Team of the Year. We've added Sarong. We've added Matt Rao. Wanganeen Miller was added. And this week, we gave you the options for your Lids Off Team Member of the Year. We gave you Harry Mackay, who had 19 and 5 goals. Nick Martin had 44 touches. We gave you Gorn, who had 20 touches and 50 hitouts. And we threw up Taranto, who had 35 and a goal. And you selected Harry Mackay to be added to your Lids Off Team of the Year. So well done to Harry for joining the team. You will get a Gatorade DDF blazer for being in the Lids Off Team of the Year. We are still working on it. We haven't got designs yet. I know you and I said that we're too lazy to designs, but I generally think we might have to start looking at doing it.
Someone messaged in a design that he mocked up.
How was it? Okay.
So thank you for sending it in.
Thank you for sending in. We're going to start concepting those designs. I think we'll ask Gatorade if we get the people who listen to this show to pick the final concept.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think it's cool.
That's nice.
Yeah. Every player gets their own blazer as well for being in the Gatorade Lids Off Team of the Year. So welcome to the team, Harry Mackay. Just an update on another thing we're doing with Gatorade. I don't think we've said it. We did the filming for it.
Mm.
But I don't think we've released it. We're waiting for approval from Gatorade.
That's true.
But I may, yeah, we haven't. This year, guys, I am doing lose by, run by with Gatorade. I've decided to put my legs where my mouth is with Gatorade. I'm so confident about Carlton's year that I've said to Gatorade, however many points that Carlton lose a game by, if they should lose, which doesn't look likely at the moment, how many points they lose by, I'm going to run the equivalent in kilometres. So if Carlton lose by 1 point, the next day I'll run 1 kilometre. If they lose by 40 points, I'll run 40 kilometres. After 4 weeks of football, after every month, I'll do the run. The first 4 weeks of the season, thank God they haven't lost a game. So I'm going to run 0 kilometres. I can officially say now I've run 0 Ks. Starting from gather round to round 8.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7. I'm going to run accumulatively how many points that Carlton lose by in kilometres. So they could lose the next 4 by, who knows, 20 each. And that's 80 kilometres. It's big. But Gator and I are doing that together. So stay tuned for some content around that. Hopefully I don't lose. My body doesn't feel like running. I don't want to run. So fingers crossed that Carlton just don't do that.
Maybe just a couple 1 point losses.
I'd love a 1 point loss.
Just to kind of get you moving. You
a
know,
nice like, honourable loss would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, if you've been living under a rock, you've been missing out because Sportsbet Feed feature is now live and I'm on it. And last week I did a call to action for you guys to follow me on Feed. You can follow the tips that we're doing here as a community. Last week, on feed, we had a win, and some of you guys followed me into that. It was paying $15. So congrats to you. It was in the Essendon St Kilda game. And if you weren't following my feed, you obviously missed out. For Gather Round, I've done a big Gather Round multi. So you guys can follow me, jump on Sportsbet app, go to the feed for Gather Round. We have Melbourne to beat Adelaide, Brisbane to beat North, Port to beat Essendon, Sydney to do a number on West Coast, Carlton to lose to Freo, Geelong to beat the Bulldogs, GWS to beat Gold Coast, Saints to beat Richmond, and Collingwood to beat Hawthorn. I think that's pretty good. I'm on there. Come and check it out. Come see what I've got to say. Come to see what my bets are. Let's have a good gather round. Yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning into Mad Tuesday. We know you got a short week. We are driving to Adelaide. I think we're recording in the car tomorrow or not.
Yeah, we'll be recording in the car. It will be a...
Is that a bonus ep or is that just a general?
No, this is going to be a Thursday release, normal time.
So we're recording on the fly.
On the go.
Yeah, right.
So okay. I'm going to have some serious car sickness if I'm editing it up, but that's fair. That's the game.
We're going to Adelaide. As I said, guys, there'll be something up on the stories now. Tell us where we need to stop. Tell us what we need to see. Tell us what we need to do. We're in Adelaide. We'll be organizing some things along the way. So we'll see you in Gather Round. We love you all.
Love you.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.